Seeds of the Kingdom. I want to read a Bible text for you today, and we're going to talk a little bit about this Bible text, and I want you to pay attention in some of the key words here. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and this glory, the glory of the Lord, shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, because I bring you good news. I bring you gospel. Good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. And he is the Messiah and the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly, a great company of the heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those whom his favor rests." I wish I could bring you with me to the first century so you could better understand some of these major words that we listen. And every time around Christmas time, we hear these words, and they're so beautiful about, you know, the birth of a Savior, the birth of the Messiah, the one who was going to bring peace to the world. But these words, during the first century, during this time of the Roman Empire, pretty much governing the entire known world back then, these words, they had extremely powerful political emphasis. The word gospel back in the first century was kind of a military term that was used by the Romans. Every time the soldiers would go to another city, another country, and go on a war and a fight to overcome that country, every time they would come back, in order to know that the chariots and the horses that were coming back, they were not enemies, people would be calling and crying out, "Gospel, gospel, gospel," or "Good news, we won, and we're coming back home." So the word gospel back then was kind of a military term. Also the word faith. The word kingdom was nothing but the kingdom of Rome that was represented by its Caesars back then and its emperors. Back then, every time you heard the word kingdom, you would assume that you were talking about an earthly kingdom that was being run by the Roman Empire. Back then in the first century, it was believed that every time a new emperor would be born, they would say, "A Savior has been given to us." They also thought that the new emperor that was born was also believed to be a Messiah, somebody sent by the gods to make the world that they lived a better world through the powers of the Roman Empire. So Rome was the kingdom of heaven on earth, according to those people. Every time a Caesar would be born, sometimes they would even start a new calendar and a new year celebrating the birth of that Savior. For them, those Caesars, those emperors, they were nothing but the climax of the perfection that the gods have granted them at that point. When a Caesar would be born, they would say a new era has started. The birth of the god Augustus was celebrated like that during those days. And that was the beginning of the good news. The beginning of Rome's Savior, their Caesars. So no wonder they were offering to the people that were paying their taxes and their people, the people that they ruled, they were offering them protection, peace, because no other country, no other army could give them peace as the Roman Empire could grant them. So when you hear the words of Jesus, when he says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, and I do not give you peace like the world gives you peace. Do not let your heart be troubled, and do not be afraid." For sure that the peace that Jesus was offering to them was a total different peace than the one that the Roman Empire could offer. There are many different political backgrounds that go into these passages. Every time we hear these words, there's so much that we can make out of it. During the times of when Jesus was born, there were many cities that were destroyed by fire. There's so much slavery taking place in those days. Many cities that were consumed in its totality just before the time that Jesus would come to this world. History teaches us that thousands of people were killed. Thousands of people were crucified back in those days. A contemporary historian of the times of Jesus, his name was Josephus, he said that at one point there were 2,000 people that were crucified in one single day. He goes on writing that there were not available as many crosses as they had people to crucify. And sometimes they did not have as many people to put on the crosses that they had available. Those were the days that Jesus came to this world. Many riots are well known for having taken place in those days. Many revolutions, and most of them would start in the northern region of Galilee. No wonder people would say, can anything good come out of Nazareth? There are many cultural or countercultural movements. The Zealots against the Roman Empire, the movement of John the Baptist and the Essenes that would withdraw from society and go into the desert, not in order to run away from Rome, but so that they could purify themselves and get Rome out of them. It was in the desert that their ministry would be perfected. Rome. Rome was such a powerful Babylonical beast during the times of Jesus, during the times when Jesus was around preaching his message. But what would be then the gospel that Jesus was preaching? When we listen to the songs, the song of Mary, he has brought down rulers from their thrones. Now you understand what was the gospel of Jesus Christ that he was preaching those days. But he has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good news, but he has sent the rich empty. The gospel and the teachings of Jesus, they were so different than the gospel and the teachings of the Roman Empire of those days. No wonder that when Jesus is tested in the wilderness, no wonder that the enemy comes to him and says, if you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread. During a time of famine, during a time of starvation, Jesus was tested to be able to provide like Rome claimed to provide for the people that lived back then. How to control such a great power that Jesus had when he said that he would not do what the enemy was asking him to do. The story goes on that says, if you are the Son of God, he said, throw yourself down. Because as we know in the Psalms, the Bible says that God will give orders to the angels so they would not stumble on any rocks. Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. And he said, all this I will give you, he said, if you bow down and worship me. Imagine if in those days Jesus would accept the offering that his enemy was giving him to maybe end hunger of these days. To maybe put him in such a high place ahead of a kingdom or kingdoms so Jesus could use his power and his influence to make the world a better place. But the message of Jesus of those days was to resist Rome and not to be bought by Rome, not to be ruled by Rome, not to be told what to do by Rome, but to resist it. Jesus lived his life in this very well-known text that the kingdom of God should come. The will of God should be done on earth as it was in heaven. Jesus left many teachings that were so contrary to the teachings of those days. We could speak about this for hours, but Jesus taught them that sometimes we needed to turn the other cheek. For somebody that would slap somebody in the face, they would use the back of their hands. And when you offer the other side of your hand, the person that's slapping you in the face would have to slap you now with the in part of their hands. And that for them was considered something very shameful to do. So it was not only to be submissive, but Jesus was teaching them what to do, how to humble other people. Many people those days, they were forced to carry weapons, backpacks of soldiers. And their religion would permit them to walk up to a mile to help these soldiers move from place to place. But Jesus told them, walk that extra mile. Because when you walk with someone, when you help someone, it's going to be very hard for them to turn around and kill you and shoot you. There's a writer called Walter Wink. He said, evil can be opposed. And he was writing on regards to these parables that we're talking about today. He said, evil can be opposed without being mirrored. Oppressors can be resisted without being emulated. Enemies can be neutralized without being destroyed. So what is the kingdom of God like? We talk so much about this kingdom and the preaching and the spreading of the good news of the kingdom of God. So what does that mean to us then? To be the ones that after centuries, after a couple thousand years, we would still preach the kingdom of God. We find in the book of Matthew, chapter 13, a series of parables, and I would like to remind you of just a few. Look at what it says in Matthew chapter 13, verse 1 and on. It says that on that same day, Jesus came out of the house, and he went by the sea, Matthew chapter 13. And as Jesus got into a boat, a multitude of people gathered around Jesus to listen to his words. Verse 3 starts saying that Jesus spoke using many different parables. In this one, he starts by saying, listen, listen. A sower went out to sow seeds. And he says that some of these seeds, they fell on the path. And some birds came out and ate them. Some other seeds, they fell on rocky ground. But because of no soil, they sprang out, and because they had no depth of soil, the sun scorched them, and because they had no root, they withered. He continues to tell them this parable, saying that some seeds also fell on among thorns, and the thorns choked them. Some other seeds, though, they fell on good soil, and they brought forth 100-fold. 60 and 30. And anyone who has ears, listen. The disciples come to Jesus and they ask Jesus, why do you speak in parables, Jesus? We do not understand. But Jesus tells them so that they would know the secrets of the kingdom of heaven. So that for those who have, more will be given to them, said Jesus. And also, the reason I speak in parables is so that those who see will not be able to see, and those who hear will not be able to understand. And Jesus said, this is all in order to fulfill what was said by the prophet Isaiah. Jesus continues on to say that blessed are your eyes, and blessed are your ears, because many prophets and many righteous people long to see what you see and what you hear. Jesus continues on saying, hear then the parable of the sower. The seeds that fall on the path are those who hear and do not understand the word of God. And the evil one will come and snatch away what is sown in their hearts. Jesus explains the parable by saying that the rocky ground, the seeds that fell on the rocky ground, they represent those who hear and immediately they receive the word of God with joy. But because they have no roots, when difficulties and temptation come, they fall away. The seeds that fell among thorns, he said, are those who care too much for the world we live in. But the seeds that fall on good soil, he says, those are the ones that hear and understand the words of God, and they bear fruit, producing 100-fold, 60, 30. What is interesting is that there's another parable that is being told right after that parable. Jesus started telling them another parable, and he started telling a parable about a good soil and a good seed that was planted. In verse 25, it says that when they were planting these seeds, somebody at night, when people were sleeping, they came, an enemy, and he sowed weeds among these wheats. And at the time when the plants and the crops, when they were growing, also weeds were growing as well. The slaves come to this master, to their master, and they say, "Should we go out and gather these weeds out of your crops?" But the farmer said, "No. Because if you take some of them out, it's possible that you will take some of the weeds out as well. But we're going to let them grow together until the time of harvesting, when we will then separate them." And it's amazing that this chapter 13 ends with another parable, the parable of the mustard seed. And he says, Jesus, the kingdom of God is like a mustard seed. The smallest, even though the smallest of all seeds, it grows and becomes a tree. And the birds of the air come and make their nests on them. If the kingdom of God, if the kingdom that Jesus came to promote and start in this world was to be a kingdom that would be anti-Roman Empire, what then in the world these parables could mean? Why would Jesus be using the language of farmers and seeds and plants and crops? Why would it be Jesus talking about the seeds that are the smallest ones that can be found? What Jesus was teaching them back in those days was that the kingdom of God would not grow by force like the kingdom of Rome was spreading all around the world. We hear that there were farmers, we hear of seeds, we hear of rocky places, and we know that Jesus is aware of the impossibilities of his kingdom. But Jesus was starting a revolution. A revolution that would start small. A revolution that would start with nothing but much patience. Nothing but much perseverance. A revolution that will understand that the enemy was powerful. And Jesus was teaching his people of those days, keep sowing. The kingdom of God will be spread, but not by force. Keep spreading the mustard seed revolution. And how interesting that this mustard seed revolution appears when Jesus is telling the story of weeds that can take over garden and destroy your crops and destroy your plants. Jesus was teaching them that his kingdom would spread one life at a time. Jesus was teaching them that his kingdom would spread one hospitality at a time. And Jesus was telling them that even the enemy of the farmers, the birds, the fowls, even for them, they would find a place and refuge in the kingdom of God. In the kingdom that would start like a tiny little mustard seed and grow to become an empire, the empire of God on earth. So I do not know how you would feel if you're sitting or if you're standing by this seashore when Jesus is at the boat telling these many parables. I do not know how you would hear these words of Jesus. Would you be asking, what is he actually saying? Mustard seeds are no good. They destroy our crops. What would be thinking when Jesus talks about seeds and farmers and plants and crops, when on the other side you can see the magnificence and the power that the Roman Empire had through their buildings and through their soldiers and through their chariots? What would you be thinking if you were standing right there in the presence of Jesus? Would you also think about who or what kind of soil you are? Are you the soil like the path that when some seeds come, because there's nothing there, the birds will come and take them? Would you think that your soil is like a bush of thorns that nothing could grow because those thorns that you have in your life would suffocate those plants, those crops? Or would you think that Jesus is talking about you being a good soil, having a good heart, a good life, so that his kingdom will bear much fruit in your life? Now I have a question for you, so for us to close. If you were to identify a period of time when you were producing the best crop in your temple, in your life, in your soil, what would that be? When you felt closest to God? You know, I'm so proud that I'm a member of this church for all the many different ministries that we have. Because we see that this church has been nurturing so many people for decades and decades. Maybe you look back and say, the best time when I was in the presence of God, where my faith was stronger, was because I had a spiritual community of people that took care of me. And I see this church doing this for so many people. An incredible community support for parents, for people that lose their loved ones, for people that would like to be involved in different kinds of ministries. Maybe the best time that you felt closest to God was a time when you were daily seeking the presence of God and the will of God for your life. Or maybe it was a time when you had your priorities in place. The same question can be asked. How about the period of time when you experienced the poorest crop producing in your life? And what were the contributing factors for that? Is it possible that there was a time in your life that you had far too many problems to deal with, and because of those problems, they pushed you away from God? Is it possible that you did not know much about Jesus during that time, so therefore your spiritual life was not the strongest? Is it possible that you did not have a support system, a church, brothers and sisters in Christ that will help and strengthen you during difficult times? What do you think it would mean to you for you to own your personal life and make your soil, the soil of your life, a bit more productive? I was talking to a couple friends before talking about this message today. And I said one of the greatest concerns that I have is that people sometimes they might make some assumptions of what I'm saying, that sometimes I even want to hide, that I wanted to speak about. But I would like you to think, are you a part of a kingdom that is helping those who are in need? What are the words that come out of your mouth when other people want to help others? Because sometimes if it's in a church setting, that's what we're supposed to be doing. But sometimes, if we see and hear people that want to help the poor and the oppressed, if it's not in a church setting, we can get so upset for what others are doing to help the poor and the less favored. I know that today we live in arguably, if not, the most powerful country this world knows. And my question to you would be, how different sometimes the country that we live in today is from Rome itself. How different the kingdom that we live today is communicating or adding into your spirituality, or how much the kingdom that we are part of today outside the building, outside of these buildings, are actually taking away from you, your spirituality. How interesting that many Caesars and many emperors during the time of Rome, they came and go, and many saviors and many messiahs, they came and go. Many of them were born, and many of them were extremely famous, but most of them, we can hardly even mention their names because they're gone, forgotten. But this small, tiny, little mustard seed, kingdom-like, of the kingdom of Jesus, it's still growing around the world. Jesus said that the heavens and the earth, they will pass away, but not my words. They will never pass away. For more than 2,000 years, the words of Jesus, the words of the one that came to inaugurate the kingdom of God, that according to our gospel writer, one of my favorites, Luke, he says, the kingdom of God is already upon you. Look around. You will see little pieces, little bits and pieces of the kingdom of God all around you. The kingdom of God is already upon you. Heaven and earth will pass away, but not my words. How amazing that today we can say, and we can still open up our Bibles, and we can hear the words of the Blessed One who comes in the name of the Lord. The words of the Blessed One that came during a time of much suffering, of much destruction. How blessed we are that today we can say we still live in the kingdom that was started by the Blessed One of God. Amen.